Hi, everybody. I'm Lynn Petrak, Senior Editor at Progressive Grocer, and welcome to Top Women in Grocery. It's a podcast focused on the trends, topics, and interests that move women forward in grocery retail. We spotlight extraordinary women with interesting lives who've had successful careers and are also making a positive impact in their communities. And today, I'm so excited to be talking with Casey Sheffer. She's Vice President of Own Brands at Giant Eagle. Welcome, Casey.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Lynn.
Yeah. So we're going to give the audience a little bit more background on you. And you are a two-time Twig winner. So I love to get that out of the way as quickly as possible. But a little bit more about Casey. After having worked in brand and marketing strategy across various industries from advertising to professional sports, Casey joined grocery retail in 2010. Spending 11 years with Ahold USA and later Ahold Delhaize USA, she served in various leadership positions on the private brands team, culminating in her last role, where she helmed the private label businesses in support of the Giant Company of Pennsylvania and Giant Food of Maryland. During her tenure, she had the opportunity to lead efforts behind the Ahold USA and Delhaize America merger in 2018, defining the combined private brands portfolio for the entire fleet of the retail businesses. That same year, she was also humbled to receive the Top Women in Store Brand Sales Award from Women Impacting Store Brand Excellence and Store Brands Magazine. In July 2021, she joined Giant Eagle as Vice President of Own Brand Portfolio across the Giant Eagle enterprise of supermarkets and convenience stores, including Giant Eagle, Market District, and Get-Go. Outside of work, she's honored to take part in other service-based endeavors, serving on the Board of Directors for the Pennsylvania Family Support Alliance since June 2021. She's also been a volunteer with Junior Achievement since 2010, which provides her the opportunity to not only support local school systems, but affords her the opportunity to spend time in the classroom with her own children. Casey holds an undergraduate degree in business from York College of Pennsylvania and an MBA from the University of Tampa, John H. Sykes College of Business. As I mentioned, she's a previous recipient of Top Women in Grocery Awards, first as a rising star in 2018, and now, not that far later, as a senior level executive last year. So that's a great resume, and we are so happy that you are here today with us, Casey.
I appreciate the invitation. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and there's so much to talk about in this space. So, and you've had a front row seat to it over the years through the evolution of Own Brand at Giant Eagle. Has the pace of change really accelerated over the past few years? And to what do you attribute innovations and just the crazy amount of interest from consumers?
Yeah, I think if you were to track Own Brands or private label or private brands over the past decade or so, you'll probably recognize it comes in some fits and starts. Anytime that you experience an economic downturn or periods where inflation is really coming into play, you see Own Brands growth really accelerate. And I think we all kind of have seen that ebb and flow over the last couple of years. But I think, interestingly, we're at a pivot point where I'm starting to see things happen a little bit differently, where I believe that retailers are really establishing these brands with firm intentions to create brands. And with that comes the opportunity to create true emotional connection with their customers through their own brand's portfolio, much the same way CPGs or other name brands have been creating that connection for decades. It's what their brands are built upon. And so what's happening is there's really not a default choice for customers. In some cases, if you're really good at this business and do it the right way, there can actually be trust and preference for strong own brands. And that can even supersede the selection of national brands. So it's really, really interesting that that pivot and opportunity is right there in front of us. And in fact, it can become a way in which customers are choosing the store in which they shop.
And I've seen that. I mean, as a shopper, I do that now. I linger more, I look more. And that was really brought home at the PLNA conference last year when they really talked about how it's not just national brand equivalency. These are things that are like garnering loyalty in their own right. Do you think some of that has to do with packaging, innovation and product? What are you doing to kind of make that happen?
I think first and foremost, the customers are giving us the permission to really view us as brands themselves. And there's that halo and connection that happens with the retail banner brand, which is something that you can very much lean into. But also, I believe in our industry, we've accelerated beyond just putting ourselves in a Me Too position. Many of us are out there creating products, assortments that really do rival anything else that's out there on the shelf. we don't have to mimic and just sit in a position of national brand equivalency. We can be differentiated. We can create lifestyle brands that exist based upon their own, you know, proof points and reason for being. And so I think it's just part of the natural evolution of bringing ourselves out of this evolution from generic to national brand equivalent, right. You know, maybe yeah. second choice to, hey, no, we're really doing things differently. And we're finding that many of our shoppers will seek to select that own brand as their first choice in their basket versus the runner-up selection based upon another proposition like price.
Yeah, we're absolutely seeing that. And if you lift the curtain a little bit behind into the organization, how does it also reflect collaboration in your organization with other partners? How has this whole thing kind of moved along collectively?
Yeah, for sure. Especially coming from an organization where we're not the largest in the marketplace, we really have to be reliant on having healthy partnerships, especially with our vendor community. So we look to really establish these steady, repeatable relationships where we partner with our vendor partners in development, making sure that they have as much interest in what we're offering to our customers as we do. Not only is it about, you know, the basics of safety and quality, but we're very concerned about the value that we're offering. Are we reliably on the shelf for our customers? You know, everything from the taste and performance of the product to the packaging. And you mentioned it earlier, but you're absolutely right. How does it appear on the shelf? And, you know, how are we engaging that customer in that few seconds where we have their attention at the shelf? We need partners to help us get through that entire process from idea to the product is on the shelf. And certainly having supplier partners with whom we can be very nimble, where we can experiment and try new things, really has helped us remain agile and pivot when necessary. So building that strong matrix of supplier partners that really suit our business model has been really, really important. And that's why we're very reliant on our excellent sourcing arm within my team to help us create that great set of partners.
And I bet it's an exciting time for you. And you touched a little bit about the future potential, but is it kind of like wide open with all of this innovation and all these people thinking differently?
It's funny. I knew we were going to talk about this. And when I was recently on a panel, I was asked a similar question. You know, what do we think is the potential for own brands in the grocery retail space? You know, and I have no crystal ball, but I kind of think the sky's the limit. I think we do have to consider what's the strategic positioning of the retail banner. How is it that they choose to go to market and how do they operate? For many, I'm guessing national brands will forevermore play a huge role in that offering. But for others, you know, I think I can confidently say, you know, Aldi and Trader Joe's, they've really made us sit up and pay attention to the fact that they're willing to go all in or almost all in, and customers are celebrating that. They not only find it okay, but, you know, look at what these retailers are doing to really create a cult following where customers are proud to say, yes, I'm all in purchasing their own brands because that is what they offer to me. And I love what they have. I love their range assortment. And certainly I love the value that I'm getting.
And it's across categories. I'm always amazed when I, you know, when I'm wandering around with both of my hats as a customer and as an editor, it's like, it's so cool. You see it in health and beauty. You see it in, you know, cleaning supplies. You see it in the freezer case. So is that kind of cool too? I mean, you talk about the sky's the limit.
Oh yeah. I think it's very interesting. Our business is very exciting because, you know, we have thousands of products across our portfolio up and down every aisle throughout the store. There are some categories where I think it's been more challenging to find success because national brands have such a strong hold in given categories, but that's okay. I like telling my team fish where the fish are biting and don't worry about going into categories that really, you know, we can't develop any kind of difference or differentiated value proposition. So don't worry about that. Let's go focus on the categories where we do have the permission and the capability to go win. And so that's where I'd much rather focus our limited resources, is in really trying to create a different story in those categories.
Well, I'll talk about creating a story. Maybe you could have some merch for your brand too, you know, or, you know, take it to that level where it's like, oh, here's an advent calendar, here's a tote, you know, or some apparel.
Yes, sky's the limit.
No, it really did. And one of the things, Casey, when I was reading your bio, when we were talking a little bit before this call too, you know, just talking about how the discussion worked today, you have a unique path to grocery. So share a little bit about how you wound up in grocery retail.
Yeah, I certainly did not come from a place of, you know, working my way up through the retail ladder. I completely respect those who have been able to take that path, but I did not necessarily know where I was going to end up in my career. I'm not the best at determining my five-year journeys. I actually started out of college in professional sports, which I know sounds very, very different, but
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to that, I'm a diehard Tampa Bay Lightning fan forevermore.
Hey. So is our editor, Gina.
That's perfect. Yeah. We'll have to have our little side chat. The season isn't going super well for us.
Yeah.
But the role that I had there opened me up to a lot of organizations and into the advertising vertical. And so it was one of my clients actually that moved me into advertising, where I spent a good chunk of my career as well. And I loved that space, you know, very modern, very current, very flashy. But it was also very something I realized and didn't necessarily love was you're touching kind of one P of the four Ps and not really getting to impact the business. And so I was very fortunate to be recruited into All Hold USA during a time in which they were looking to consolidate how they went to market. And so bringing me in from advertising was in an effort to help them understand how to bring together common practices as it pertains to communication strategy, store format, signage package, those types of things. But I didn't stay long in the marketing department. I was very fortunate. I worked with a tremendous leader who is still in this business today, and he's among the best out there, who took the time to really understand me, understand my talents, understand my interests. And he said, "You're going to come work with me in Own Brands." So I like to joke that I was voluntold to come join this business. But every day I'm so fortunate that he took the time to really understand who I was, because I think that this side of the retail business is kind of a perfect match for me. You know, he opened those doors, and really, I to this day continue to say it's a great testament to what, you know, great leaders can do for someone who truly sees you, takes the time to understand you, and really set you up for success. So I owe a lot to him. And I'm sure if I said his name, many people listening would know who he is, but I will forever appreciate what he has done for me.
That is so fantastic. And, you know, just think of, and I've had mentors in my life that have done that too. And you just think back on it, like, do they know the influence they had on you and how they changed the trajectory of your life, your career, and in turn, others' careers? It's so amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. I do let him know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hopefully he does know, but I think it does then teach you how to be very aware about how to pass that forward and be that for somebody else in your career path.
Well, and I love it. He probably saw your competitive nature, and it's like, okay, let's have her work for the home team. Here, you know, let's have her on home ice here, right? So does that shape your leadership style? And is that something he saw in you too, that you could bring that part of your background into your role?
Yeah, I think so. So when you and I were talking about, you know, doing our pre-conversation leading into this, I know we talked about some of our side interests and endeavors. And I think in some ways you paint me as a competitive athlete. And I would say, let's dial back the competitive idea.
Okay.
I'm more of an experimental athlete, I think. But yes, I have always considered myself a pretty competitive person. But I always like to say I'm competitive with myself. I'm not as competitive with other people. And so if I think about the things that I'm involved in from an athletic perspective, you know, whether I compete in triathlons and CrossFit, it's really, I think, something that I do to keep me hungry, you know, and sane and grounded. It's a release for me. But a common thread around all of those athletic endeavors, you know, when you force me to sit down and think about this, is that it reinforces an aspect of community. And I think there's in that a principal understanding that supporting one another and building everyone up makes everyone stronger and better. And that has to start with yourself. And so I really do think there is a payback to those things that I do in my spare time to say, hey, I need to bring back that aspect into what I'm doing every day and the type of team that I'm building. And the expectation that I have for those with whom I work to say, you know, yes, be competitive with yourself, continue to make yourself better every day, but then look to strengthen those around you because we're better together.
Absolutely. It's not about throwing elbows. It's about, you know, improving your performance, making it better for yourself, lifting other people around you, right? And that is a good standard to have, always looking to make it better.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell you, I didn't know this in my 20s. I was very competitive and probably looked solely upon myself in my 20s. But something I started to realize
as
about
we all
myself,
do.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll cut myself a little slack on that. But
yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, going into my 30s, I'd be running these triathlons and something clicked in me one day. I started to cheer on people who would pass me. Now, normally in my 20s, if I got passed in a triathlon, that was awful and the worst thing that could happen.
You're going to pick it up.
That's right. But I started to realize, like, you know what? These people probably trained really hard and they're out here and they're pushing themselves. I'm going to cheer them on and help keep them going. And the first race I started to do that, it really picked me up as well. And I noticed it kind of kicked me into a new gear. So now that is absolutely how I approach races, is I'm not out there just for myself. I want to help pick other people up. And in doing so, it puts me in a different headspace as well.
That is awesome. And I think that must be something that comes with age and experience, right? You know, I think it does. And if you keep some of the hunger while you learn to, like, you know, broaden your look around you.
Yeah, for sure.
It can bring everybody across the finish line a little bit better. Yeah. And you talked about the mentorship you have, and you know, you're paying forward it with others, right? And some of the other rising stars at Grocery, including some within your organization, we recognized over the past year as well. So do you take pride in that? And what's your philosophy to mentoring others?
Yeah. I think my job as a leader is probably the toughest part of this role or any role really at any level. It can be the most rewarding part, but it can also be the most, you know, emotionally exhausting. But I do believe that as a leader or a mentor, you're in a position of power, and that power is in potentially unlocking something within someone that makes them better, that makes them stronger, that gives them clarity. And so for me, it's making sure that I'm consciously showing up as a leader and paying attention to my team and those that surround me to say, my hope is that I can help leave with them a positive impression, and let them feel supported in that I want to be vested in them and help them reach their full potential. You know, I've always had a philosophy that we spend so much time together. Our hours in the office, our hours at work take up so much of our lives. And so I really do want to help create that positive environment for people so that it feels like it's time well spent. And they're, you know, excited and enthusiastic about what it is they contribute and what it is that they can potentially contribute down the road. So I am always happy to mentor. This year I picked up a few additional mentees, that excites me beyond belief. But I think absolutely it's about looking to folks, no matter the generation or experience, to say, let's help each other out and let's help build each other to a place where we can all be stronger. Because as individuals, as we become stronger, we just strengthen the team and the organization that we support. So yes, I love that. I wish I was more successful imparting tremendous wisdom with my children, but I guess that will come with time. But certainly it's one of the most rewarding aspects of my job for sure.
Well, and you do spend time, you know, helping your children's school and being involved in that area. So how does that also, it shapes how you approach your work-life balance, but how does that also help you as a leader too? Because you learn different things in there and all about balancing your time, and maybe you learn stuff from kids too.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of just understanding that life is unexpected and dynamic, and you know, what happens outside of the office is the most important stuff. Your family and what you're doing as a parent and, you know, a member of your community. So for me, it just brings more of an awareness that, you know, my team has a life outside of when I see them every day, and they might have great things impacting them. They might have stressful things impacting them. And so it's just about helping them show up in the best possible way and supporting them when life happens, because life always happens.
Sure does.
I'd rather create an environment where my people are intrinsically motivated to want to do a great job, to want to contribute the most. And I think that my role in helping to create that environment is making them feel like they have the opportunity to succeed, be acknowledged for that success, but also live in a world of not fearing that something might pop up at home that they have to go take care of. I want them to always have that freedom and being good at everything they attempt to do, whether that's home life or work life.
And one of the things we were talking, because we just finished judging Top Women in Grocery for this year, and we're so excited to share that with everybody soon. But we're always amazed at the amount of volunteer work that people do across the board, the executives, the rising stars, the managers. So I'm sure you see that in your team and you have that in your own life.
Yeah, I think it's part of, you know, your self-enrichment. I know what it feels like to work many hours and have young kids and feel pulled in so many directions that it's hard to find opportunity to take part in other endeavors. But, you know, if and when you do find those windows of opportunity to work on something else that's outside of yourself and outside of your family, I think it does help round you out and make you feel like, you know, somebody that's more highly contributing to the environment around you. So huge proponent of that. I would always like to spend more time giving back and volunteering, but there are only so many hours in a day. But I think it's about finding causes that matter to you, and it's quality over quantity. But absolutely a fan and a proponent and a supporter of those who choose to give back in any capacity.
And I think too, like, it's okay that if you do something, maybe an hour a month or a few hours a year, like, it's okay. Like, I don't have time to do all that stuff either. But when I do, I feel like I shouldn't beat myself up because I'm not doing this all the time. It's
right.
Give what you can when, yep, when you can do it. Yeah. So I think, yep, that makes a difference.
I had advice given to me one time, which has always stuck with me, which was find the talents that you've been blessed with and then find, mm-hmm, a way in which to utilize those talents to better those around you. And so I think that that's a great way to think about it. Mm-hmm. And so I try to bear that in mind when determining how to spend that spare time and giving back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for spending some time in your day talking to us, you know, about the great things that you're doing for own brands and in your own life and career and mentoring others. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And for more information on Top Women in Grocery podcast, please visit progressivegrocer.com/podcast. You can subscribe to the series wherever you typically listen to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. And if you have an idea for a TWIG podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So please feel free to email me at Lynn Petrak, PETRAK, @EnsembleIQ.com.